Good morning and welcome to Central Fellowship Baptist Church. My name is Rodney Queen. I'm the pastor of Central Fellowship. And today we're bringing you this morning service, March the 29th, 2020. This is the Lord's Day, and God has commanded us on this Lord's Day to come before Him, to worship Him, to pray, to sing, and to preach God's Word to His people, His sheep of His pasture. This morning, our call to worship comes from the book of Ezra. Here we see the word foundation emphasized. In the book of Ezra, here's where they're building the second temple. The first temple was destroyed. Now the second temple, the foundation, has been completed. And notice what it says there in verse number 10. I'll read verse 10, and then we as a congregation, wherever you might be, we will responsively together read verse 11. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel, together. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Father, we come to You this morning, praising You, the God of heaven, has come to dwell amongst men. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You left heaven's glory and came to this earth in order to die for the sins of Your people and to be that foundation in our lives. Not a temple made with hands, not a physical temple as Israel worshiped in, but You have come and You dwell within us. Thank You this morning for Your gospel and for saving our poor, wretched souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may God's people sing together the church's one foundation.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation, by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rid asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping,
their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Amen. Our opening scripture this morning comes from the book of Psalms. We're going to see here four verses from Psalms. Psalm 89, 97, 102, and 104. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heaven are the work of your hand. And the heavens are the work of your hands. And he set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. Did you get that? It will never be moved. Praise God for Jesus being our foundation, His Word being our foundation, that we live by God's foundation. And here today we want to sing this song that speaks of God's world. We live in God's world. This is my Father's world. Let's sing it together.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let heaven ring. God reigns, let earth be glad.
We We're glad you've joined us this morning for our morning service here at Central Fellowship Baptist Church. And one thing that we do every Sunday morning in our congregation is we catechize. We go through a catechism, and we're right now going through the Heidelberg Catechism. You might say, I don't know what that is. What is a catechism? What does it mean? To catechize means that you ask a question and then you answer the question. And the catechisms are built around doctrinal truths in the Word of God. The Heidelberg Catechism of 1563, way back yonder, this was in the Reformation period, after the Reformation, early in those days, they put together this catechism. It's called the Heidelberg Catechism, after the Heidelberg Confession of Faith. And they used it whereby to teach their church members. And then the mothers and fathers could go into the home and they could teach their children during the week. Last week, we looked at a question that had to do with providence. Now, I need to explain to you that the Heidelberg Catechism is divided into three sections. Now, we've already covered the first section, the misery of man. That's talking about sin, the fall of man in the beginning. And sin brought death, disease, destruction, despair. The misery of man because of his sin. But we're now in section number two, and section number two has to do with the good news, the redemption of man. See, God did not leave us in our misery. He did not leave us without hope. But He came into this world. The Father sent the Son into the world to redeem fallen man. And so we've been looking at the redemption of man for a little while now. And last week, we looked at question number 27. Today, we're going to look at question number 28. Both of these questions have to do with providence. And we talked about providence. God is a God of providence. He's involved in the affairs of men. He's the unseen hand in the affairs of this world. And the question is, what does it profit us to know that God has created and by His providence still upholds all things? That word profit, what good does it do us to know that God has created and that He is by His providential hand still upholding all things? Now you say, I'm not sure if I understand that all that's going on in the world and has gone on in the world. Do you mean God is providentially behind the scenes? That's exactly what the Scripture teaches us. It's not that God is for everything that happens. Just like His commandments, the Ten Commandments, that shows us what His will is for us. But man sins. Man turns from those commandments. But yet God is behind the scenes, controlling all things, upholding all things, permitting all things, and so forth. So, what profit does it do us to know about providence? Well, here's the answer to the question. Here's why we need to understand providence. That we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Father. That no creature shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand, that without His will, they cannot so much as move. That's all creatures. That includes the devil. Remember, the devil is God's creature. Someone has said that the devil is God's devil. In other words, the devil cannot do anything without the permission of God. Yes, God is in control. God's providence. Now, this helps us as believers, we who are the children of God. It helps us during times of hardship, adversity, to be patient, because God has a purpose and a plan. Also, when we're going through prosperity, things are good. We should be thankful. We should thank God for His good hand of blessing at that particular time. And the future, what is it going to hold? What is it going to be in these uncertain times? Well, we've got good confidence that our good and faithful God, for we who know Him, Romans 8:28, and we know, know what? That all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now that verse is not for everybody. That verse is not speaking to those that are outside of Jesus Christ. Those that are not believers. God's not promised that everything's going to work out good for you. But His people, His children, those who have been born again, who love Him, not a sappy, sentimental love, but truly love Him and love His Word and love His commandments and obey Him. He says that He will work all things, that's good, bad, and indifferent. He will work all things together for good. How could that be possible without a God of sovereign power? A God who providentially is behind the scenes, that unseen hand. Take hope in that today. Take courage in that today. Rest in that truth today. We're going to sing a song that I'd never heard this song until this week, but it's a song that talks about the 23rd Psalm, and it's entitled, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's sing this together.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. The quiet waters by. My soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, within the paths of righteousness, Him for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill, for Thou art with me and Thy rod, for Thou art with me and Thy rod, and staff me comfort still. My table Thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head Thou dost with oil anoint, my head
with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me. And in God's house forevermore, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
Every service here at Central Fellowship, we read the Word of God. God's Word tells us in the epistles that we're to give attention to reading. Reading God's Word. And today we're going to read Psalm 23. If you'd like to get your Bible and turn there. Psalm 23. We're told that Psalm 23 is the most famous, the most well-known of all Scripture. It's used at funerals more than any other Scripture. It's a comforting portion of Scripture. But it is a personal portion of Scripture. Everybody can't claim Psalm 23. Only God's people. Only those who are the sheep of His pasture. Let's read now Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Notice there, David is speaking personally. He's using personal pronouns, possessive language. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you notice all of those possessive words? My shepherd, my Lord, and all those promises He made personally to David, because David was one of God's sheep. And today, if you're one of His sheep, He promises that He will do these things for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have allowed us through Jesus Christ to be Your people, to be the sheep of Your pasture. And we thank You for Your protection, Your feeding, Your walking with us even through the valley of the shadow of death and all these things. Yet in the end, You promise that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And after we depart this earth, we'll dwell with You forever. Thank You for the promises of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, don't you want to praise the Lord for His goodness and for His Word? Well, let's sing together 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. Let's lift that song of praise together.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find, to bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Praise the Lord. Today I want to preach to you from the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we want to think about the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. In fact, we're going to look at this psalm or this song, which a psalm is a song, but this particular song that was written by a preacher in England many years ago. That's what I want to preach to you about today is the fact of Jesus being our foundation. He's the church's one foundation. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at verse number 11. Now, Paul here is talking to the Corinthians about some ministry things. But one thing that he states as truth is in verse number 11, he tells them that no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. Past tense, it's already been laid, this foundation. And he identifies this foundation as Jesus Christ. Only one foundation, and this foundation is Jesus Christ. Well, that's what the song, The Church's One Foundation, is all about. And we know that a foundation is the most important part of a building. It's the first thing that you lay. Before you lay block or brick or raise the steel or put on a roof, the first thing that must be done is you build the foundation. Now, Jesus talked about two men in the book of Matthew chapter 7. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said that there's two men, both of them, made an outlay. The biggest purchase or the biggest investment one makes in life is generally their home. Well, both of these men lay out the money, make the investment, and they build a house. But the contrast between these two men, their two houses. The Bible says that one of them built their house without a foundation. He built his house on the sand. Now, what was his reasoning? Well, I want to hurry up and get to building. I don't want to take the time to dig a foundation. I don't want to take the time to find a rock to build upon. I'm going to build my house on sand. Now, this is ludicrous. Jesus is saying here that as silly and as ludicrous, as foolish as this seems, Jesus says that people are doing that, building their house on sand. Well, when the rains come and when the winds blow, he said that that man's house fell in. It was destroyed. But the other man, he built his house on a foundation. He built his house on a rock. And the winds came and blew, the storms came and blew, and everything that beat upon that house, Jesus said, it did not fall, but it stood. Because a foundation is important. And Jesus said in that comparison of these two men, he said, the one that hears my word and listens and obeys and does what I say, he's like a person that builds on the rock, builds upon the foundation. But those that hear my word and do not obey, they're like the fool who builds upon the shifting sand. Where is your life today? Is it on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Is He your Lord and Savior? Not asking you, are you a member of the church? Many people who are members of churches, been baptized, they are on their way to a devil's hell because they're thinking that because I got baptized, because I'm a member of the church, that I believe. Well, the Bible says the devils believe also, and they tremble, but they're not saved. Are you saved? Is there doubt in your mind? Do you know for sure that Jesus has saved you? Not asking you if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. I'm not asking you, did you walk forward? Not asking you, did you make a profession of faith? I'm asking you, has God saved you? Are you saved? Well, yeah, preacher, I did that. No, has God saved you? Is He the foundation of your life? No other foundation than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Can we analyze in these next few moments six stanzas of this song, The Church is One Foundation? Notice with me these six verses, and I'm going to go through this quickly. And I am going to point out some things in the lyrics of this song, which is straight out of the Scriptures, straight out of the Bible, doctrinal truth. Verse number one. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is the church. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Oh, what words! This is the gospel. Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, to become His bride. In this song, it says that she, the church, is His new creation. Now, He's not talking about a church building or church membership. He's talking about those who He purchased, those whom He died for, those whom He has saved. He has made them a new creation. And we collectively, as the church, He's making up His bride, and we belong to Him. He has made us, and He's promised that He will sanctify us by His water and His word. You'll see that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about by the water and the word of God, by His truth, He cleanses us, and He feeds us. This is all through the word of God. He has not left us after He has saved us, but He is preparing us as a bride for the bridegroom. Notice those last four lines of verse number 1, from heaven He came and sought her. God the Father sent the Son into the world to fetch His bride, to be His holy bride. And with His blood, He bought her. On the cross, He bought her. He paid for her. For her life, He died. Oh, this is the gospel in this first stanza of the church's one foundation. Oh, but we go on in the second verse here. Notice it says something strange to many people in the very first line. It says, elect from every nation. What does that mean, that word elect? Well, it simply means that God, from every nation, from every tongue, from every tribe, from every people group, God takes people out of those groups and He saves them. They are part of His bride. He makes them part of His bride, His church. The book of Revelation tells us that one day around the throne of God, people from every language, every tribe, every nation, every people group, there will be people represented from every one of those entities. And they'll be praising God for eternity. I'm going to be a part of that. I didn't seek Him out. He sought me out as one of His people, one of His elect. And the song says, elect from every nation, yet one, or all the earth. We're all one. We are the church. Her charter of salvation. One Lord, one faith, one birth. Yes, that's the truth that we hold to. One holy name she blesses, talking about the church, she blesses that one holy name. We all partake of one holy food. We do that through the Lord's table, communion, the Lord's supper. And to one hope she presses with every grace endued. That's speaking about the universality of the church, God's people, God's bride, the elect that He has called. Verse number 3 now moves to a darker sense. Here it's talking about the things that the church goes through, that we as God's people go through. Though with a scornful wonder, men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Notice what that's talking about. The church is viewed by the world as something silly, as something to not take seriously. Scorn is heaped upon God's people, the church. Men scorn, they mock, they make fun of, they oppress, they cause schisms in the church. They bring in heresies in the church. And like those last four lines say, yet saints their watch are keeping. They're like the watchman. Through all these troubles, they are keeping their watch. Their cry goes up, how long? Lord, how long are we going to have to endure this scorn, these trials, and this adversity? That's what in Revelation, remember the saints say, how long, O Lord, before you deliver us? But oh, the promise of those last two lines of verse number 3, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. God's word promises, dear saints, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And that's speaking poetically about we will have to suffer as God's people, as God's church, who has built their lives, our lives upon the one foundation. But yes, joy is coming in the morning. Morning is coming. When, we don't know, but we look forward to that day. Verse number 4 of the song is a triumphant verse. He starts off saying there that the church shall never perish! Exclamation point. God's promised that the church that Jesus is building, that Jesus is making up His bride, the church will never be destroyed. That's a promise. Her dear Lord to defend. It's His church. We're His property. We're His possession. We're His people. He will guide us. He will sustain us. He will cherish us. He's with her, the church, us that know Jesus, to the end. Notice those last four lines of verse 4. Though there be those that hate her, and false sons in her pale, against both foe and traitor, she ever shall prevail. Praise God for the promise of Jesus' church, His bride, His people, its perseverance until the end. We don't have to worry about the church failing or the church being destroyed. We have the promise. Well, let me quickly move to this fifth stanza. This fifth stanza talks about consummation. We're going through tribulation. We're going through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war. The church is in war. The church, her, is in war. We that know the Lord Jesus, the bride of Christ. That's why we sing the song, Onward, Christian Soldiers. We're going to war. We're fighting a battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's not with physical weapons or with physical strength. It's a battle that we are going through, tribulation, toil. But what are we doing? We as the bride, we're waiting for consummation. We're waiting when our bridegroom comes. The bride waits for the bridegroom. The church waits for Jesus. And we will be with Him forever. And what will we experience, as it says there in that fourth line? Peace forevermore. That's the promise. You say, oh, that sounds pretty good right now. Oh, but think about the peace that'll be a perfect peace, a peace like you've never understood, you've never experienced. We've never gone through that type of peace. He says there in the last part of the verse 5 of the song, the church's one foundation, till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed. That's the bride looking, and her eyes are blessed at the great church victorious, shall be the church at rest. When Jesus comes back, He will put all things in order, and there'll be peace. We will find perfect peace at that time. The Lord Jesus, when He returns. And now let's notice this last stanza of the song, number 6. Here it speaks about these last consummating days, these days where we experience union together. He says, yet she on earth hath union. That perfect union, she, the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with the three in one, God the three in one, we experience that union. It says there, mystic, sweet communion. It's a mysterious, yet sweet communion that we enjoy with those whose rest is won. Oh, it says, happy, happy ones. That's what we are that know Jesus in His body, in His church, His bride. We're happy ones, and we're to be holy. Happy ones and holy. That's a sign that you belong to Him, that you are holy. Not only positionally you've been made holy, but you live holy. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Because He's made a change in you. You are His bride. You long for the bridegroom. You look for that day of sweet communion where you will be with Him forever. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with Thee. Oh, praise God for this song and the doctrinal truth that it puts forth. Oh, dear friend, today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, I am a herald. I have been called to preach the gospel. What I am to preach and tell you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I am to tell you that God has commanded you to repent and believe the gospel. Believe upon His dear Son who came and died on the cross and paid the sin debt for sinners. Repent. Turn from your way. Turn from your religion. Turn from your sin. Turn for whatever you're trusting in and turn to Him. Believe upon Him today and He will save you. Father, I pray today that You would speak to hearts, that one that wherever they might be, maybe they are in a place not far from here, or maybe they're in a place far across the world, listening and watching this, and I pray today that they will believe upon You. Save them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning, folks, we're going to do something I've never done in a church service before. We're going to sing a song two times. We sang it in the beginning, and we're going to sing it at the end.
The church is one bride.
Scripture says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Take these words with you as we close this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.